Again, it's good to see everybody out this morning. It is good to see a full auditorium. It's always wonderful to be able to gather together the encouragement that is received as we are able to be with each other, with brother and sister in Christ that we have as we come together, as we sing these songs. It's just so edifying, encouraging to me, and I hope that it has been unto everyone else also. We welcome out all the visitors that are here this morning. It's just always wonderful. I also want to make it known we do record our lessons. We have videos of the lessons on Facebook and on YouTube. I do my best to get the MP3 up on our website, which means I can also make the MP3 to be sent out email or made CD if any copies were ever to be desired to have or to re-listen to or share with others. So we try our best to make known of that, and if you need help with any of those, just let us know. I want to encourage that you open up your Bibles and follow along as we go through the lesson this morning. Open up your Bibles and see that it is the Word of God that we use to teach, to live our lives, and to help live that faithful life to God, to get to that home in heaven. That's what I actually want to kind of talk about this morning in that point, is talking about, you know, using the Word of God. If you open up your Bibles with me and start in Mark chapter 11. In Mark chapter 11 and reading there in verse 27. Mark chapter 11, starting with verse 27. It says, "Then they came again to Jerusalem, and he was walking in the temple, and the chief priests, the scribes, the elders came to him, and they said to him, 'By what authority are you doing these things? Are you, and who gave you this authority to do these things?' And Jesus answered and said to them, 'I will also ask you one question. Then answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men? Answer me.' And they reasoned among themselves, saying, 'If we say from heaven, he will say, why then did you not believe him? But if we say from men, they feared the people, for all counted John to have been a prophet indeed. So they answered and said to Jesus, 'We do not know.' And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things.'" So the lesson this morning is simply, by what authority? By what authority do we teach from? By what authority do we live our lives from? And every day that we get up and we make decisions about what we are going to do, about the example that we set for everyone to see, the things that we are prepared to answer, when someone comes to you and asks you about your faith, what have you put in your heart? What is your answer? And why is that your answer? By what authority do we teach these things? We see here in Mark that the scribes, the elders, the priests, all knew that there was a chain of authority. That there is supposed to be a chain of authority. If they could get Jesus, and that is their point here, is that, well, who is he to go forth and teach new teachings? Who is he to go forth and start something different in their mindset? And so if we can prove that he does not do these things from God, then we have it. You know, he's going about establishing his own doctrine, his own teaching, or his own authority, on his own authority. What we see here in Jesus' answer, and the first point I want to bring out about the lesson this morning, is that there's two choices when we ask that question. By what authority do you make your decision? Whether men or from God. Either you're following somebody, you're doing what mom and dad said, you're doing what the preacher says, the priest, you're doing what someone else is teaching, what you came up with yourself, or you're following the commandments of God. That is the two choices. Do you believe John was baptizing in the name of men or in the name of God? the two choices we have to choose from. We need to see that there's still only two choices. In Matthew chapter 7, turn along with me there. Matthew chapter 7. Read along with me here and in verse 13. It says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." Again, here it brings out two choices. Two choices that you have to choose from. And now understand that there's a ton of different doctrines, teachings, religions of men. But it still comes from men. And as long as it doesn't come from God, it doesn't matter which man you're following. If it's your parents, grandparents, the pastor, the preacher, whoever it is, if they're teaching their own teachings, and it's not God's teachings, it all leads down that easy path that leads to destruction. Or you can choose to follow God. You can choose to question men, asking them, by what authority do you teach these things? Where did you find that in the Word of God? Which makes it more difficult. You have to be willing to search the truth. You have to be willing to seek it. And you have to be willing to question. And not just take the first answer that is given to you. You have to be willing to ask, where is that found? You have to be willing to open up your Bible and search for it yourself. You have to be willing to stand for what is right when others are not willing to stand for what is right themselves. But it's only two paths. Two choices that you have to make a choice from. Again, Matthew chapter 12 and verse 30. Matthew 12 and reading verse 30 says, "He who is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather with me scatters abroad." Again, it makes it simple. It makes it clear. Jesus is making it clear. That either we're with him or we're against him. There is no straddling the fence line. There is no, I'm kind of with you, but not fully. Either we are with him or we're against him. If you open your Bibles to Revelation. Revelation. Revelation chapter 2. My mind's not going to give me the verse. I didn't write it down. As we go through the letters to the seven churches here, and he goes forth and he starts listing off, and you go through and you read about all the good things they do in chapter 2, and you get down to verse 5 or verse 4. It says, "Nevertheless, I have this against you." You know, he starts off saying, "I know your works," in verse 2, "your labor, your patience, and you cannot bear those who are evil. Nevertheless, I have this against you," in verse 4, though. "You've left your first love." And he goes forth as he writes to the churches. He starts off with those points. You've done good, but now you've fallen away. Then you get to chapter 3. In chapter 3, there starts off, brings out in verse 15, "I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." Again, either you're with or you're against. But because you want to straddle the fence, because you want to be on both sides, because you want to say you're serving God because you want that home in heaven, but you love the things of this world. You want to participate in the sins of this world. You don't want to offend anyone in this world. But oh, do you want that home in heaven? Oh, do you want to be called a child of God still? So you are neither hot nor cold. You're lukewarm. And we're told here that lukewarm is not going to make it to heaven. Lukewarm is going to be spat out. There's two choices. You have to make a decision of who you are going to follow. By what authority do you live your life? And so let's take a closer look at those two choices. The first choice, is it the way of men? Are you going to go down the path of mankind? Are you going to choose to continue down such a path? We just got done studying the book of Judges in the adult class, and we're going through Ruth, which is during the time of Judges, and so we're still kind of in that same point. But throughout the book of Judges, it's mentioned a few times. This saying right here, Judges 21, in verse 25, it says, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. They went about their own way." As we continued and we got closer to the end of Judges, and especially those last few chapters, as we studied it, we pointed out they made their own way. You have them coming up and said, "Well, I'm going to take the silver, I'm going to make my own gods, and here comes a Levite, well, I'll ask him to be my priest. And so, since I got a Levite as a priest, even though I have idols of my own, you know, God will surely bless me." Not, will God bless me? Not, what does the Word say about it? What's the law of Moses have to say about it? It's, surely God will be okay with this, since a Levite's willing to okay it. Because a man's willing to okay it. I mean, he's a Levite after all. Again, they look at that title. And understand, we can't just look at a title just because they are the preacher, because they are the priest, because they are the pastor, because they are the minister. And say, well, they're teaching the truth. I don't have to question. I don't have to open up my Bible and check to see what they're reading and what they're saying is true. I don't have to say, where did you find that? Often, I think we get caught up in that. We get caught up in trusting. And again, I hope that you do trust me. But I also hope that you open up your Bibles and search the Scriptures and make sure that I'm teaching the truth. Because if I make a mistake, I need to correct. I need to change it. And so here we see, if we do what is right in our own eyes, we're going to go down the wrong path. Turn along with me to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. Proverbs 14 and in verse 12. As it reads here, it says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." There's a way, again, that seems right to man, but in the end, it's not going to work out. It's that path that leads to destruction. As you continue to study in the Old Testament, we get out of Judges and you start studying the kings, and as the children of Israel are asking for a king, you know, it's a constant reminder for anyone who goes out and tries to teach somebody. They sit down, they study with them, they open up their Bible with them, they read the Scriptures with them, and you can't understand sometimes why they can't accept what they see in the Word of God. But we have to realize, just as God had pointed out to the prophet, that he did not deny me, he's denying God. They're making the choice to deny God's will. So many times people want to get caught up and say, well, you are condemning me. You are saying that I'm wrong. You're saying that grandma and grandpa went to hell. I'm not saying. I'm opening up the Bible and studying with you. And whatever we read through the Word of God is what we are reteaching, teachings of Christ, teachings of God. We cannot go about and teach our own way, because it leads to death, it leads to destruction. In Matthew chapter 7, you go back to Matthew chapter 7, we read verses 13 and 14. Let us go ahead and read verses 15 through 20 after that. Matthew 7, starting there in verse 15, says, "Beware of false prophets, who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them." So after he tells us that there's two paths to choose from, that there's an easy, big path that leads to destruction, And so many just jump on that path because it's so easy. Because all you really have to do is nothing. You don't have to do a single thing. You stay at home all your life, never get out, and you can be on that path, at least to destruction. And after he warns us about these two paths, making sure that you are on this narrow, difficult path, he says there's going to be those who are going to try to pull us away. There are false prophets out there. They will come to you in sheep's clothing, trying to pull you in, trying to pull you off this difficult path. And because it's so difficult, it's going to be easy to fall off of. Especially when others are trying to pull you away. We know that's exactly what Satan is doing. Satan is out there like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Satan has went out there and set snares and traps to catch us off guard. And once we step into that snare, he's going to pull us across. Make us fall off this path and fall onto his. There's two paths. And when it comes to making sure that we are going to have that home in heaven, we have to be searching the scriptures, asking by what authority do you teach these things? By what authority is my faith? Turn to Revelation 22 and verses 18 and 19. Revelation 22 and verses 18 and 19. Here it says, "For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of the prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." Again, there's false prophets out there. Satan disguising himself as an angel of light. Oh, this is the word of God. We know he used the word of God to try to tempt Jesus. We know he used God's word against Eve. Did he really say that you shall surely die? But today, so many want to add or take away from the word of God. They'll teach from the Bible, but not the full one. They won't want to look at the whole picture. They just want to look at part of the picture. And they add to, or they take away. Well, we don't have to look at the part that says saved by baptism. We don't have to look at the parts that talk about divorce. We don't have to look at the parts that talk about drunkenness. We don't have to look at these parts of the Bible. Just look at this. God loves you. Just look at this. God is so kind, he gives you grace. Again, I'm not saying we don't look at that part. We have to look at the rest of the picture. So many want to take the word of God and cut out what they don't want. And if they have desires of their own that's not found in the word of God, then they want to add to the scriptures. This sounds so good. It sounds like a great idea. And they want to go ahead and go forward. Well, by what authority? They question Jesus with that. It's a good question to truly ask for sincere, looking for the truth. By what authority do we teach? Is it the way of men or is it the way of God? We can go through those points. Way of men or way of God? Turn with me to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, of course, verses 1 through 4. Therefore talking Jesus, saying that he goes and prepares a room, a home, a mansion for you. And if he goes to prepare a place for you, he will come again to receive us. But the thing is, we've got to be on that right path. This is supposed to be verse 6, not verse 5 up there on the PowerPoint. John chapter 14 and in verse 6. And Jesus said to him, I and the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is the only way. This is the only path that we have. It's through Christ, through our Lord and Savior. And we're asking, how do I get to heaven? What must I do? Go to Acts chapter 2. You read and listen to Peter's sermon, Peter preaching to them. They are cut to the heart. And what must we do? What shall we do? What can I do? The answer is look to Christ and keep His commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's what we see here. He says, I am the way. He is that difficult path. We go to 1 Peter and you see that He has given us the path to follow. We are to follow in His footsteps. Understand, that's a difficult path. That's a difficult path because He is the only person to ever live a life upon this earth without sin. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and therefore it's difficult for us to follow in such big footsteps. The thing is, we're not doing it alone. We're doing it with Christ. We're doing it through Christ. He strengthens us. He guides us. He is there for you. This is the path we must follow. Ephesians chapter 4. Again, that there's only one path to choose from here in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, starting there and in verse 4, it says, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's above all and through all and in you. There's only one. There's only one God, one Father above, who sent His only begotten Son, one Savior. Only one person who sacrificed His life for everyone. And when He and the Father sent the Holy Spirit to guide the apostles and prophets, to give us the Word of God, it went forth and gave us one faith. One hope. We all have the one hope of getting to heaven. It's not multiple kingdoms in heaven that we're trying to get to. We're trying to get to one place. There's only one path to get there. One path. One faith that Jesus went forth and teach. He did not teach one thing to one person, teach another thing to another person. And say, all right, you go spread this over in this country. You teach this over in this country because we have to accept their cultures. There's only one way in which He has given to us the Word of God. It has been given and spread throughout. And that's the whole point, is that as He instructed His apostles, His prophets, as He taught them. We pointed this out in recent lessons, Matthew 28. And you read there in verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. All nations. This one teaching that I've given you, go teach it to everyone. This baptism of salvation, go teach it to everyone. Mark 16, to all creatures. Everyone. One path in which we can follow. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16 and 17. 2 Timothy 3 and verses 16 and 17, they're telling us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be what? Almost there. That he can almost have the right path, but then he gets to make up some of his decisions on his own. It says that the man of God may be complete, fully equipped for every good work. Not most of the good works. Every good work. It has everything we need. Right here. In the Word of God. In the Bible. Everything we need.
That's why we can go back to our last point when we talk about the way of men and look at Revelation 22, 18, 19 and say there's no need to add to it. If we add to it, then we're going beyond what God has given us. And God says He's given us everything we need for every good work. That's why we are to be diligent to present ourselves approved unto God. We are to continue to study it, to be able to rightly divide the word of truth. The only way to do that is by studying. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We have to be willing to search the scriptures. There's no reason to have a new teaching. No reason to add to it, because as we see in James 1:25, it is the perfect law of liberty. He who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Who will be blessed in what he does? The one who actually opens up the Bible and does what it says. Who keeps what they see and they read through it. You know, within those verses, right around James 1, verse 25, it talks about looking into a mirror. Looking into a mirror. One who looks into a mirror and turns around and just forgets what he saw. Ah, I forgot that I needed to wipe this mud off my face. Forgot that I didn't do my hair. When we open up our Bible, we're supposed to be reading it like a mirror, looking at it. Because we're following in the footsteps of Christ, right? So when we read about Christ, we read about Jesus, we read about His love, His mercy, His kindness. We read about His teachings. And we don't keep His teachings. We don't go forth and teach His teachings. We don't get upset about sin like He got upset with sin. And we look in the mirror and we say, we need to add those things. We need to start putting on these things. Adding to our faith. As we're about to start into in our adult class, add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. Knowledge, self-control. Self-control, perseverance. Godliness, kindness. We're supposed to grow. Following in the path that Christ has already set for us. So many times we want to find that shortcut. We have a lot of visitors here. A lot of people when we have to traveling home. You're like me, you're going to pull up. You may know the path, but I always still pull up GPS, usually still. Look at it. See what it says. Is there a shorter path? Is there a shortcut to getting home? There's no shortcut to heaven, guys. We have to keep His commandments. We have to follow the path that has already been set. So we ask you, what authority does your faith come from? Make sure it comes from the Word of God. And so if you have any other questions, you have questions about the faith, you have questions about what is done here at the Westside Church of Christ, questions about the Word of God, please ask it. Search the Scriptures on your own if you feel like doing that. If you want to study with somebody, I'd be more than happy. If you have someone else that you feel more comfortable with, make sure you search the Scriptures. Whatever they teach you, whatever I teach you, make sure that it comes from the Word of God. We don't want to leave without extending the Lord's invitation this morning. If you're here and you've not obeyed the gospel, then we want to encourage you to do so. To be baptized, to have your sins forgiven, to be ready to admit that you've repented of your sins, you put those things behind you, confess your faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, come up out of that water a new person. One who's ready to say, I live a life that Jesus has commanded me to live, and letting God have His way with me. If you're here and you need prayers, congregation, if there's anything we can do for you, please let it be known as we stand in service.